Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last time we had heard St. Peter deny to Jesus that he would ever give up following him. In fact, he swore that he would rather die than fall away. And Jesus had prophesied before the rooster crows thrice, you will deny me twice. Lord, I will never deny you. Have we ever found ourselves in the same position as Peter? Have we ever found ourselves denying Jesus? Maybe we don't do it in our minds. Maybe we don't realize even that we're doing it. But certainly we have. We deny him and the vows that we swore at our confirmation when we neglect the divine service. When we choose to stay away rather than being in the Lord's house, to hear his word proclaimed, to receive his gifts. When we fail to remember that we are a baptized child of God, that he has called us out of the darkness and sin of this world into his marvelous light through plain water with the word of God. We fail when we forget how important it is to repent, to return to the Lord, to confess our sins to a most holy and high and righteous God, to hear the words of God through our pastors that our sins are forgiven. We even deny him when we neglect the sacrament of the altar, when we choose to spurn this wonderful gift of the Lord and try to go our own way. Surely we can survive out there without having to receive it every week. By the way, when I was a kid, they didn't even offer it every week. So why should I have to receive it? And maybe those haven't actually been your words, but think of the testimony that we give when that is the way that we live. Peter is confronted. You must be one of his disciples. And he denied before all and said, "Woman, I am not. I do not know him. I do not know what you are saying." The night before, he told Jesus that he would rather die than fall away. But we do the same thing. Oftentimes, after we are confirmed, the next Sunday we are no longer there to be found. That happens time and time again. And I really can't blame the child, because at the age of 14, you shouldn't be driving, right? That's illegal, and I don't want to stand for something like that. But the parents must look at their own lives. They must realize what sort of testimony they are giving to their children. Will I raise my children in this faith just for the time of education that they spend with the pastor? Or will I train them in this for life? Will I show them that Jesus Christ really matters to me? Or will I simply go through the motions? Will I grumble and complain when I have to bring my children and sit with them and learn the word of the Lord week after week? Will I find the time slipping away week after week as I am to devote my life to the Lord, as I am to raise them in this faith, as I am to teach them how to pray? We might not deny with our words, "I do not know the man," but too often we do with our actions. Peter is confronted again. And this time he denied, and he swears to it. He says, "Man, I am not, and I do not know the man." And then a third time, Peter is confronted. He is asked, and he said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." And Peter began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man of whom you speak. How dare you? How dare you say that I am one of his followers?" Do we not treat Jesus that way when people confront us with the church's teaching, with the doctrine that has been handed down to us for century upon century upon century, not because some man made it up, but because God gave us this word? Do we throw it away for whatever newest fad comes down the pike? We can never keep up with the world, for it is always falling downward, for it has been infected with the sin of Adam. All creation has been corrupted in Adam's fall and now groans, waiting for the return of the Christ, waiting for Jesus to come back and restore creation. That the heavens and the earth will pass away, but on that day a new heavens and a new earth will be brought forth, never to be corrupted again, never to fall into sin for eternity. Peter denies that he even knows Jesus. All the while, Jesus is asked about what he has done. Jesus says, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple." They wanted to know about his disciples. They wanted to know about his doctrine because they were claiming that this man was inciting insurrection, that he was speaking blasphemy. And if Jesus was not truly God in the flesh, absolutely his words would have been blasphemy. Jesus cannot equate himself to be God, God in the flesh, unless he actually is. Jesus is either God in the flesh who has come to save creation, or he is a lunatic and madman, a liar. He is God in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect and sinless life and then became sin for us. For he bore our sins on the tree of the cross and the sins of all creation. This is the truth. And only this truth can set us free. The devil spews lies. The world spews lies. Your sinful flesh spews lies. But take heart, dear child of God, for you have the Holy Spirit. He is dwelling in you even this very evening. He was bestowed on you in the gracious gift of God, not because we earned him, but because of God's grace. God gives us the power by the working of the Holy Spirit to turn from sin and to return to the foot of the cross of Christ, to cry out, "I do know the man, the God man, the only man who has done everything for me, the only man throughout all of history who can save me from my wretchedness." Jesus said, "You have heard what I taught, for I taught it openly. I have not lied about any of it. I have not kept it a secret. This doctrine is pure. This doctrine is public. Ask anyone who heard what I said." And in response, Jesus is struck. Jesus says, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Take heart, dear child of God, when you speak the truth and the world looks terribly at you. Remember that the world is not your judge, God is. Speak the truth. Speak it in love, not in hatred, but because you truly care about the person who is before you. Because the person before you is a person created by God, created to be loved by God, and a person that Jesus Christ has died for. So speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. Rebuke when rebuke is necessary. Do not allow them to fall into the pits of hell without saying a word. Jesus is spit upon. He is mocked. He is blindfolded. Can you imagine treating God in the flesh like this? To claim that your whole life you have waited for the Messiah and here he is in front of you, and what did you do to him but spit on him and mock him and treat him as if he is not the Christ? We do that though, don't we? Every time we neglect reading God's word, every time we neglect to pray, every time we neglect to speak the truth, every time we neglect the Lord's table that is set before us each and every Sunday, we do the same thing in the way that we live, and most of the time we don't even realize it. But Jesus died for us too. Lent is a perfect opportunity to return to the Lord's table and his house week after week. So many habits were changed, and it's time to make them great again. Take your faith seriously. Rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for you. And remember that that cross is not the end of the story, because Christ will conquer it. He has conquered it. And that Christ, that God in the flesh, will return on the right hand of power in the clouds to judge the living and the dead. On that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, but only those who confessed in their life will be saved. You don't earn salvation, but you do live it. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.